It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, this is the Annie Fry Show on a Friday before the election, 107. Filling in for Annie, she is on a family little trip. I think they're celebrating doing well in some sports, so they're going to travel for some sports. That's always a lot of fun when we get to do that, too. Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie, Brad Range here, and DeRoy Murdoch. We weren't able to connect with him earlier this week, so DeRoy Murdoch is here on a Friday. DeRoy, thanks for being here.
You bet. Great to be with you guys.
So I want to ask you a big opening question here, DeRoy. Now, there's a lot of ways you could go with this. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?
I don't think so, unfortunately. I think this is the big closing question that President Trump has been asking at his rallies, and I think it's what people have to ask themselves before they go to the polls or mail in their ballots or whatever it is people are going to do to express their desires for the next President of the United States and all of our other leaders. And if you look at the situation we face under Kamala, you know, almost everything you look at has gotten worse. Inflation obviously is higher. We've got prices which went up and 9.1% at one point. They've cooled back down to 2% and change, but the prices did not go down. They're just not increasing as rapidly as they were before. When President Trump left, the inflation rate was about 1.4%. It's about 2.5% now. A gallon of gasoline was about $2.39 then. I think it's about $3.30, $3.40 now. Higher crime, obviously the complete out of control border. The number of people crossing at the border has gone up something like about 330-340%. One of the most staggering figures I've seen is the number of people who came across the border when President Trump was in office who also were on the terrorist watch list. That was a grand total of 11 under President Trump's watch. Under Kamala, it's about 330. Enormous increase. And I took a look at also some of the situation in terms of national security. You know, are we safer than we used to be before? And is a truly chilling situation when you take a look at, for example, the number of rockets thrown at our friends in Israel, as they're sitting there being shot at by Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis, et cetera. Under the 4 years of President Trump's reign, they had about 1,100 and just under 1,200 or so rockets and mortar attacks over the 4 years of President Trump. Under Kamala Biden so far, the number is 24,560. So from roughly 1,200 to over 24,000. So this is like, this is like 20x basically or something like that, almost a 2,000% increase. So if you have friends or relatives or people you love in Israel, and obviously they're friends and allies of our country, those people really have been taking it in the teeth as a consequence of all the weakness and vacillation and lack of resolve that we've seen on the part of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And that's just one example of how this is a less safe world than it was when President Trump left. And that's bad for people in Israel. That's bad for people in the United States. That's bad for everybody around the world.
You know, DeRoy, it's interesting because when you ask the question, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Most people are going to answer that economically. And so my plan was to ask you, and I figured you would answer with economics, and then we'd talk about some other issues. But you just laid it all out. And the one that you ended on is one that I forget often. And that is that the world is just not as safe as it was 4 years ago. It is remarkable the track record that President Trump had for 4 years of keeping the world safer. My question for you is, do you believe him? And he did this last time. So I give him the benefit of the doubt when he says, I won't give you the details, because, okay, you did that before and you showed that you could do it. But do you believe him when he says, I will end the Ukraine war within, you know, 30 days or whatever. He says different things, but it's pretty quickly. He says he will end these wars. You believe he can do that?
I think he can, and I'm not sure we can do it in 30 days. But look, you know, when he came in, we had ISIS in the Middle East. They were the ISIS caliphate, the actual real estate they controlled in the general Syria, Iraq area, was equal to two New Jerseys. Now, I personally think one New Jersey is more than enough, but, you know, was the size of two of them. And within 11 months, basically, Trump came in. He told the generals, okay, get it done. Get it taken care of. And 11 months after he came to office in December of 2017, the ISIS caliphate went from the size of two New Jerseys to one New Jersey to the size of Newark to the size of one block of Newark, and pretty soon it was gone. There was no ISIS caliphate. He was able to get four Middle East peace agreements with Israel and its neighbors, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Sudan, and Morocco. Sudan, interestingly enough, had been on the State Department's list of terrorism sponsoring countries, and it went off the list, made peace with Israel, which nobody would think they would do because they were so anti-Israel for so many years. And there was also an agreement between Serbia and Kosovo, which had been at each other's throats for the last, you know, 1,000 years or so. And President Trump and Rick Grenell, as director of national intelligence, had a very good idea, which was the State Department has tried for all these years to try to have some kind of a political settlement between these two countries that can't agree on anything. And Trump and Grenell thought, look, why don't we do this? Why don't we ask them, listen, skip the political stuff. Let's just have a commercial agreement, and you guys can trade goods and services across the borders. And maybe after 5, 10, 15 years of exchanging, doing commercial agreements and trading goods and services, maybe they'll learn, okay, these people aren't so bad. They're not as awful as our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents told us, and maybe we can move on to some sort of political settlement or agreement or what have you. And so far, things have stayed nice and calm between the Serbs and the Kosovars, which is what we want. So Trump has this very odd reputation of being a warmonger guy who's going to, you know, push the button and cause World War III, et cetera, et cetera. And when he was president, we had no new wars. We had peace erupting across the Middle East. We had peace in the Balkans, and we certainly had peace on our border, which is, we all know, is completely out of control. So for a guy who's kind of, you know, loud and a bit cantankerous, he's actually quite the peacemaker, and he's the first president since Jimmy Carter who started no new wars on his watch. I'd certainly love to go back to those policies as opposed to what we have now, which is a planet that's just pretty much in flames.
Roy Murdoch with us. He's a nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor. Saw you on Fox News this morning. You were talking about some of the economic realities under Biden-Harris. You just outlined, too, the state of the world. I mean, it is much more chaotic now. It was much more stable under President Trump, whether it be the state of the world in foreign policy or our economy or just domestic problems like you listed with the border. Things were much more stable, and yet They always say, gosh, this guy's so chaotic. Everything felt so chaotic. Why was it more, at least the perception of chaos when Donald Trump was in office? Why do people say they felt that way?
That's a good question. I think that some of this was President Trump's tendency to go on Twitter at, you know, 4:30 in the morning and have these, you know, long Twitter blasts and so on. And that sort of made people a bit nervous. So I won't blame him totally helpless about this. But I do think that a big part of the chaos people complain about was the chaos that people created for him. You know, the whole three-year Russia investigation. Oh, my God, the President of the United States is a KGB agent. And he takes orders from Vladimir Putin, and we have all this evidence that he's wrapped up with taking orders from Moscow, blah, 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 blah. We spent 3 years yanking our collective hair about this. And then at the end of it, after investigations by the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, the FBI, and of course the Mueller report, after four different investigations, the conclusion was he never was involved with Russia. He never was involved with Putin. There was no American, neither Trump nor any member of his family or his campaign or anybody else who helped the Russians interfere in our elections. The whole thing was a complete hoax. It was completely invented. Adam Schiff, congressman from California, is running for U.S. Senate on the ballot on Tuesday, and I really hope he loses. He was one of the ringmasters of this thing. He kept saying on television, I've got all the evidence. The evidence is incontrovertible. He never presented the evidence because he didn't have it. So a lot of these people made things up. They invented things. They created chaos and then wrapped Trump in it. And then when he found himself in a chaotic situation, they blamed it on him. So I blame a lot of the so-called chaos, as you described it, about Trump in regards to people around him who created these chaotic situations, the Russia hoax and the suckers and losers hoax and the hoax regarding very fine people in Charlottesville. A lot of these things were instances where Democrats or the left-wing media are both just invented and fabricated things about Trump, wrapped him up in controversy and all sorts of acrimony. And then when that erupted, they say, well, it's your fault all this chaos is happening. Largely, it was the fault of those people creating chaotic situations in which keep him distracted and enthralled to keep all of us supporters of his off base, because we were fighting, you know, a lot of problems that they created. And then once we did so, they blamed us and him for the chaos that they had, that they themselves authored.
Yeah, DeRoy, I mentioned seeing you on Fox News this morning with Harris Faulkner and a Democrat messenger, I don't remember, David something, you were with there. You guys were talking about the economic realities under Biden. And it was interesting because when she would ask him a question, it was like everything he was saying was very defensive. You know, it was, well, you know, people always say this, but here's the reality. let me educate you. And they came back to you and you made a really good point, one that I just don't hear people make a lot, about the jobs growth being largely driven by the government.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for watching, by the way. David Carlucci, former New York State senator, was on. And we talked about the unemployment rate, unemployment figures, which are quite dreadful today. The unemployment report came out this morning, and we're expected to create 100,000 new jobs. Only 12,000 new jobs were created. And then it turns out, even within that situation, things are even worse than you might expect. The number of jobs created by the government, 40,000. Number of jobs in manufacturing decreased by 46,000. So lots more bureaucrats and lots fewer people working on assembly lines and producing products and so forth. And then we also had revisions downward for the month of September. The number of new jobs was revised downward by 31,000. And even worse for August, the new jobs were revised downward by 81,000. So if you're Kamala Harris and you're trying to have your closing argument over the last weekend before Election Day, these are not the kind of figures on which you want to be traveling to swing states and presenting yourselves before voters. I mean, these are kind of figures. Rather than ask for applause, she ought to be offering an apology.
Yeah, DeRoy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor, on with us. It's to the point now that when I see job numbers, I think a lot of people who watch this are doing the same thing. You go, well, I can't trust that until about 3 months from now. So they're constantly revised downward after the fact. They get the headline and then they move on. Although this time it was way below even their projections. So October surprise is that they didn't really alter anything unless they alter it to negative job growth. This has been a bad jobs report.
Well, you know, it's terrible. And look, it could be, that we only had 12,000 new jobs, and maybe they'll revise it downward, actually, rather than a small number of new jobs, and maybe it'll be a negative job growth. Certainly if you believe these folks are cooking the books for political advantage, this is not pretty. I mean, I would have, probably cooking the books, I would have cooked them longer.
No kidding.
or better ingredients, leave them in longer till they're golden brown rather than just raw right now.
Exactly. Yeah, you're expecting 100,000 jobs, and they go, well, here's the version we're going to put out, which we know you're going to revise later, is only a tenth of that. You're going, how bad is it really?
Yeah. I thought, I watched live at 8:30 when the numbers came out, as I was preparing for, oh my God, 300,000 new jobs. Wow, Kamalaomics is working. Oh my God, she's a miracle worker. And no, in fact, it's like, woof, this is a big, a big swing and a miss in a major way. So I'm sure the Trump campaign will be educating people on these figures. And Kamala and company, they were saying, well, there was a hurricane, it was all of Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton. And of course, they were terrible and devastating. And the people in Florida and Georgia and certainly North Carolina were devastated badly. But, those took place a few weeks ago. This does not explain the destruction in August and September for things that happened later than that. And there's certainly no reason that you should have an increase of 40,000 people working for the government, taking up money, taxpayer money from the rest of us, and then this huge drop off of 46,000 in manufacturing. These are really terrible, terrible figures, and you know, kind of devastating and rather embarrassing. So if I were Kamala Harris, I'd probably hide under the bed for the next 3 days.
DeRoy, just to
face the voters on this.
Yeah, to conclude with the question we started with, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? The final question I have for you is, do you think that the American electorate is associating Kamala Harris with this 4 years, or is she successfully separating herself a little bit from what Biden and Bidenomics has been?
I think she's done a little bit of that. For some reason, people seem to blame Biden more than her, and I think maybe people on the right have sort of attacked Biden rather than attacking the policies. I think people understand that she is, in fact, the vice president. She's managed to wiggle away from him a little bit, but every time she does so, he seems to get her a big bear hug and say, "Oh, you're wonderful. You're riding shotgun next to me for 4 years. You're my chief deputy. You're involved in all the big decisions. You're last person to leave the room after we decide to do anything." And you know, she's tried to put more distance, some amount of distance between herself and Biden. Biden's not let her get very far. Then again, on The View, she was asked, would you do anything differently? And this The View is the most pro-Democrat, pro-female program probably on television. And she said, come to think of it, no, I can't think of even one thing I would do differently. So she had the opportunity to say something like, maybe we wouldn't have spent quite so much money, or I don't know, perhaps we should have left Bagram Air Force Base open and close that last rather than close it first before pulling out of Afghanistan. According to Kamala, she would have done everything the same. And so she's really, had multiple opportunities to say how she would have done anything differently, and she didn't do that with Stephen Colbert. She didn't do it on The View. She's had other interviews where she could have said how she would have done even one thing differently, and I think the only thing she said is maybe she would have appointed a Republican to the cabinet, so maybe we can look forward to Secretary of Defense Liz Cheney if, God forbid, she gets elected. Other than that, I think she says she'd do everything the same way Joe Biden did, which means if you like the last 4 years, you're going to love the next 4 years if you vote for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, she's really gone out of her way to defend Joe Biden on everything except for the garbage comment. That was one. They couldn't even spin that one. DeRoy, we always enjoy listening to you on the Annie Fry Show on Wednesdays. Kind of glad you couldn't make it this Wednesday, because then you and I got to catch up. So thanks for being here.
You bet. Well, as one piece of garbage to another, have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have fun election night. Thank you.
We will.
Much.
Thanks, DeRoy.
All right.
DeRoy Murdoch, and bye-bye. He is the national syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor that we talked to on Wednesdays, and we were connecting with him on a Friday because we couldn't on Wednesday, so appreciate his time. It is 1:23. Hey, we got a lot of show coming up. It is the Friday before a major national election, and there's been a lot to cover this week. That means there's also been a lot that we missed this week that normally would have been big news, but there's just so much happening. Brad and I are going to cover what did I miss in the segment to come right after the commercial here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Fighting the fight that I couldn't win. And you rescued me.
This is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
To shave and it's a goofy thing, but
this is the Annie Fry Show.
I'm a doing
Follow
right.
Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Make me some homemade
a little behind the scenes in the Annie Fry Show chat that we do. Brad and I and Annie, and I think Ethan's in there now too. We send each other articles and little videos and stuff kind of throughout the day. We really never stop doing that. If any of us run across something, we're sending it
all
to the
hours.
Whole group.
All hours.
All of us are like, oh, check this out. And sometimes it's just something funny.
Yeah.
Other times it's something that, hey, maybe we could use this on the show. You know, Annie obviously is driving a lot of what she wants to use as the host. One of those things that got shared in the chat that I don't think we talked about on air, and I don't know that we would have made it to air because the guy wasn't really well spoken. He it was honest.
Oh yeah,
but
I know
was
which one
the garbage man.
Yes,
who was the driver when Trump did the Garbage Force One?
Yes,
yeah, the press thing. It's clearly what it was. And he gets in the car, and this guy was the driver. Now he wasn't some surrogate. You know, that
right.
They're like, oh, you're going to do this right now.
Think of like a big burly guy with a big red beard, probably mid to late 30s.
Clearly not good at doing press.
Right.
but he drove that truck because he drives a garbage truck.
That's, right.
I think that might have been his truck, in fact. And they were allowed to paint it. You know, they're like, yeah, take the president around. So he just gets in the truck and drives around. And he, of course, went to Twitter or something afterwards or Instagram, recorded a video of himself saying, here's what it was like driving the president around, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just him honestly telling it. It's about 3 minutes long. Well, one of the things he says in it that honestly cracked me up, and this is, we're starting What Did I Miss? Because this is something we mm-hmm. didn't talk about.
Yeah.
He says that the president gets in the truck, and there was no script. He just sits down, and he goes, well, where you want to go? And the guy goes, I think we're probably just going to drive around the tarmac a few times. I don't know if we're allowed to really go anywhere. And President Trump goes, why don't we go to McDonald's? And the guy goes, look, I've been driving this truck a long time. I can tell you, this thing is not going to fit in the drive-thru. And Trump goes, oh, don't worry about it. I used to work there. That was great. So I just wanted to share that. As we get to What Did I Miss?
What did I miss?
What did I miss?
All right. I have a few. Well, I say a few. I have a couple clips here that didn't make the cut, or we got sidetracked talking about venison jerky or whatever. Some really.
No.
No.
The goal was to say, no, we only covered top of the line news. This is the second page news that we might have missed.
Well, yeah, this is second page news. Anyway, I want to start
did I eat dog food?
But you did.
Let's move on.
Okay. This is not fake news with Brad. All right. This is Jimmy Kimmel the other night. I hope.
If you can vote early, vote early. If you can't vote early, vote on time. If you want to vote for Trump, vote late. Vote very late. Do your voting on Thursday or maybe Friday. This will be my third time voting against Donald Trump. Fifth, if you count the two times he was nominated for an Emmy for a reality show host.
Now, that's funny. Funny stuff. I mean, you can laugh at it and all that other stuff. But the thing is he says in there, you know, vote late. So he's telling Trump voters, just wait until Thursday or Friday. It's a joke. I get it. But there was a guy named on Twitter. His name was Ricky Vaughn, and his real name and his real life name was is Douglas Mackey. In 2016, he posted a meme and it said, avoid the line, vote from home, text Hillary to 59925. It's a meme.
I think I remember this story.
Well, I want to say around March of last year, Mr. Mackey was prosecuted by the Biden DOJ for breaking election laws and trying to deceive voters on when election day was.
Wow. Wow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
That's interesting.
And to be clear in this, I'm frustrated because this was a guy, I think he had about 58,000 followers on Twitter, and he was making a joke. I mean, the memes in 2016 were outrageous. It's just what it was. And that was back when Twitter was more of a Wild West than it was after that. And now it's starting to get back to that sort of thing now. But I'm all for making jokes. It's obvious when things are jokes. It shouldn't, like, why are we prosecuting people? And if this is like, if you're serious, if you're going after Mr. Mackey, Douglas Mackey, about his meme, and you're going to call that election interference, there is no argument that can be made not to go after Jimmy Kimmel for the exact same thing, because he's telling people to vote in a way that they can't vote to force them to miss the vote. That's the joke that he's making, but that's also what he's doing. So either you care about election integrity or you don't, and that means Mackey's prosecution was 100% political.
Let me ask you this. When was that meme?
2016.
And this was the Biden DOJ that went after him?
In 2023 is when that press release was released.
Wow, that is late.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
They went back and found it.
I will defend Kimmel a little bit here. He's clearly joking. This guy, Mackey, he may have been for sure making a joke, but it seems a little less obvious. But still, prosecution, I mean, come on. That seems way too far, especially so far after the
fact. I'm holding the meme that he posted up to the camera. Ryan, you can kind of see it too. But it looks like a political ad, but it's a joke. So
that's tough. That's a tough line.
Yeah.
Because you could say a lot of things were jokes that weren't jokes after the fact. You know, you could say you deceive a whole bunch of people and go, I was just joking. You know?
Yeah.
But this seems a bridge too far.
Yeah. So let's get serious about things. Another thing that we missed was this cringe crowd. I don't know if you heard this one, but this crowd was all amped up for Kamala Harris. They were just...
Okay, now I want each of you to shout your own name. Do that. Because it's about all of us. It's about all of us. And listen, I have fought my whole career to put the people first.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love that clip because I saw that when it happened.
Oh, it's worse when you can see it.
It really is. The audio is just kind of awkward. But when you see, and I don't know what it is about why it's so awkward on camera, but they cut to the crowd and they cut back to her and everybody's just kind of sitting there. Everybody was so amped up. Kamala.
Yeah, I think,
now say your own name. Joe.
Yeah. Rudy. I think what makes it so awkward is the energy was there, and then it cuts to Kamala, and she's got these wide, crazy eyes looking right at the... Like, I've never seen her look at the camera this
way
before.
It was like she was ready.
And she's like leaning over the podium. She's like, and now say your name! And everybody in the crowd that had their signs up in the air and holding them up, were shaking them, yelling Kamala, were kind of like, what?
Jan... Frank.
Dave.
There's like a murmur of nothing. clip was funny.
And then she realized what she did, and like you heard it there, and then she does the laugh, and then she's like, because it's about all of us. That didn't land the way I thought it would.
It's also funny because in light of Annie, I think did a whole segment sometime this week, earlier this week, talking about how it really feels like when Kamala meets people, she's saying, it is nice for you to meet me. And then... And it's almost like the campaign heard it and then said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make it about you. And then they did that clip.
All right. I got another one here, and I'm excited about this one because this is a kind of a big celebrity endorsement for
Donald
Trump.
Democrats have been in power for 12 of the last 16 years. So if we aren't happy with the current political state, economic state, environmental state, then who is to blame? Tim Walz, the vice presidential candidate, has even said this himself.
We can't afford four more years of this.
We can't have four more years of this. Even Tim says there needs to be change. And he's right. We need to change from Kamala Harris to the Republican candidate, Donald Trump.
Do you know who that is?
Somebody who likes stapling papers while he talks?
No. You don't know who that is because you're old.
Okay.
But that's Jake Paul.
Oh, and you would consider him to be a celebrity, do you?
Yeah, oh yeah. You wouldn't because you're old.
You're right. he is the new school celebrity.
But the thing about him is he can't even vote in this election because he says it earlier in that video that he had moved to Puerto Rico. And he had to, when he moved to Puerto Rico, he's doing it for his boxing career. He wants to become a good fighter, and that's a great spot to go if you want to learn how to fight. Great boxers. And he said, I can't vote, but that doesn't mean that I can't share my opinion on what I think and who I think should be president. And he basically, Like, what his argument there was is, like, things are bad. Kamala Harris is in charge. Kamala Harris's own vice presidential candidate acknowledges things are bad and they can't do it.
We can't do this four more years.
Yeah. Therefore, we should vote for the different guy, the guy that is not in charge right now. And he supports Donald Trump. I don't know how much that'll move the needle, but I was only joking about the old thing. You're only slightly older than I am. With the younger crowd, with younger men, this moves the needle a little bit.
Weird question and parlay into this, but when you voted early.
I did.
Now you're just talking, and he said, well, I can't really vote, but I can say something. Mm. Do you feel like your vote, you're just kind of like, okay, I did that, now what do I do? Because anytime I voted early, which I don't typically do, I usually vote Election Day, and a lot of the reason is because I know right where my polling place is, and I know that it's quick, and I know that I'm going to have to wait if I go to the courthouse.
Yeah.
But when I have voted early, I always feel like, oh, I did that, and now what do I do?
What do I do now?
Now I'm just waiting?
No, you go get friends, and you take them to the polls and have them vote. You get more people to vote. But I do kind of understand that sentiment that you're talking about. It's like, now what?
Because you feel like you're so invested in it.
Well,
that you
did
this, you did your part, but then you feel like, I feel like I should be doing more. I'm not really doing anything.
Right. But the flip side of that is, too, also in Illinois, where I live in Illinois, is usually a pretty deep blue area. They've got my district lines drawn a little differently, so I'm in Kevin Schmidt's district. Mm-hmm. And so usually it used to be like, all right, I'm going to go vote for these people and none of my people are going to win except for Congressman Bost. Well, after Kevin Schmidt won, I'm like, there is something and my vote does matter. And it feels like I finally have something to vote for because we all know Illinois is going to go blue. I could vote for the Riddler and it would go blue. It doesn't matter. They're just going to pick Kamala Harris in Illinois, which is a terrible choice. I don't know what's wrong with people, but so my presidential vote doesn't count, but my local votes count.
They count. They don't move the needle.
But it will move the needle in those local races, and that's where you can start making grassroots movements. And that's why I also say, it's like, so you go vote, and it's like, now what? Well, now I'm texting my friends. I'm getting all my friends. Hey, guys, I already went and voted. It took me 10 minutes, even though they're super busy. It was like in and out, and bang, I was done. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, you know? Let's get people that you know to the polls. Ryan, you said it earlier this year. I didn't believe you initially. I believe you now. This is going to be a turnout election.
So, they all are anymore.
So get out there and turn out your friends and family and get them to the polls. If they have to wait for 10 years in St. Charles County, I understand, guys. That's terrible. But it's worth the wait.
The YouTube live chat poll is actually about down ballot issues. Of these three options, which do you most hope goes your way in the election? The U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, or state/amendments? Now, those are not deep down ballot. It's just not presidential. We're wondering which of those you would prefer if you could kind of get your way in one of those three, which one you would pick. But you're right. It's those deeper down ballot issues, your state races, your amendments, your county board, you know, the stuff that nobody is, you might see signs. Some of those races get so small that you're not even seeing signs for them.
Right.
Those are the ones that really, really make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate Mark Cox, you know, put out a voter guide and he touches on quite a bit of those.
Oh, yeah.
He can't hit all the deeply local ones, but he hits a lot of them. And that's up at 971talk.com. Do we have time for one more?
I got one more here for you. This is Tucker Carlson. And this was.
So here's my perspective. I think Donald Trump's going to win. Which is amazing. And that's why I'm here. I'm not here because he's going to win. I'm here because I'm so thrilled by what I've watched over the past 9 years. This is the end of a redemption arc. I've really never seen anybody treated like Donald Trump was treated, ever. Anybody, ever. Attack him. I watch this all up close. Defame him. Indict him. Arrest him. Let him get shot in the face. And he's going to win anyway.
Oh. That's pretty amazing.
I was going to say, how does that make you feel?
I mean, that is, we've talked about it, I think, a little more off-air than on-air, that the historic precedent of him winning a second term after losing, it's not unprecedented, But, man, I never thought I'd see it. When you're in grade school and you see the presidents up on the wall and the pictures,
yeah.
You know, you do see Grover Cleveland twice.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the heck? That's weird. Yeah. Well, now...
with somebody in between those two pictures.
Yes. And, well, he's the only one that has two because all the rest of them served two consecutive terms and you just leave one picture. So it's weird when you see that and you always kind of remember, even if you don't remember his name, you remember. I remember seeing that when I was in school. From now on, you will now have two. I shouldn't say.
Yeah, let's not jinx this.
Let's not jinx it. But if things go the way that I think that they will, you will see two pictures of Donald Trump in grade schools, unless they decide we're not going to pin up pictures of presidents
anymore.
We're just
going to take them all down,
which is probably more likely. That clip of Tucker reminds me to remind you to come back at 2:05, or just stick with us because Tucker has said some things, and I think this is part of a new documentary movie. I don't think it's his documentary, but he's a part of it, and it's about something in the realm of like supernatural stuff or Christian supernatural. I'm not sure like what the angle is, but it's making the rounds because Tucker talks about being attacked by a demon. Now, if you instantly have your eyebrows raised and you go, oh my gosh, where's this going? Me too. But you're going to be shocked by what he says in these clips that we're going to play at 2:05. Stick around. This is the Annie Fry Show.
I hope they're doing all right.
This is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
It is November 1st, 2024, which means it is no longer October. Does that mean we can safely say we had no October surprise?
They tried
to manufacture October surprises, but I don't really think we had one.
We had like little mini October, like I don't know what an October surprise technically is, but I would think that Biden calling, you know, Trump voters garbage would be, I don't know, it's not really a surprise.
No, it's a bunch of, that seems like normal news cycle
stuff. Yeah, there was really hard to have an October surprise against a candidate that has been vetted and investigated so much.
Man, you kind of went where I was going to go with that question because we had some October surprises. They just happened in June and July.
Yeah.
That was the biggest political month. It was less than a month, actually. It was President Trump gets shot, mm-hmm. almost killed.
Well, I think you can go back to the first debate.
Was the debate was before that?
Yes.
You're right. So that was, yeah, okay. So the debate happens, and then it forces the current sitting president out of the race.
But he wasn't yet. So the debate happens. Yeah. Biden is on political like campaign life support. They're like, okay, the question from the moment of that debate up until Trump was shot was, is he going to stay in or not?
That's right. And then Trump has the assassination attempt, mm-hmm. Blood on the face, iconic images now that we've all seen of him being surrounded by Secret Service.
Standing with his
fight, fight, fight. Man, I had people texting me that I have never, ever heard praise Donald Trump. They might be conservatives. I just don't know. I don't think they're just fans of Donald Trump. Texting me going, man, that was BA.
Yeah.
That was amazing, you know, yeah. And I don't know if that means they vote for him or not, but it was just an iconic moment that is everybody will remember for the rest of their lives where they were when they heard that. And that doesn't happen very often. Mm-mm. When you have a moment that you remember, everybody can kind of go, oh, I remember where I was when.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't know when those things are going to happen. That's why they're such a surprise. But that was a huge surprise. And then
the RNC,
it kind of delayed the figuring out whether, because you know there was a week there where people were going, I don't know if we should talk about it.
Well, it was that, but he was also at the RNC that same week
and announced JD Vance as vice president, so that happened right away. And then you finally get the Clooney letter and the Obamas take over, and somehow that ends up in Kamala Harris being at the top of the ticket. To me, that was such a big earth-shattering 3 weeks or whatever it was, that I'm not sure how you could have an October surprise now.
Right.
I mean, unless it's something like, you know, people's rumors. I'm not going to say that these are going to happen, but the rumors were that there was something floating around out there about Donald Trump. Never really heard what it was, that it was being shopped. I saw some people on Twitter saying, yeah, this is being shopped right now. I don't know what it is, but I didn't take the bait. It sounded like it was a steel dossier type thing.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't much merit to it, but it was pretty salacious. And so good news is, we still don't know what that was.
Yeah, that's interesting, because whenever you consider that it was floating around there, but then you got people on Twitter talking about it and they're saying, ah, I was looking at this, was shopped to me and I passed on it. It didn't have enough. Whenever you start having those personalities come out and you have that information coming out, it cuts the legs out of any of those salacious stories, because they're like discredited by credible people before they even come out.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times when people announce, and really good marketing people do this, but it backfires at times, because you go, oh, wait till you see what I'm releasing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody goes, ooh. And their mind goes to whatever they think the big thing could be. And then whatever the big thing is never that big thing. So it's always a little bit of a disappointment. It generates a lot of views, but it doesn't generate the same enthusiasm or excitement that I think the person marketing it is trying to do. But the one that was also, and these are just rumors again, like, hear me when I say that there is no credible report to these things, but that Kamala had a P. Diddy tape. You know, that was being shopped that, oh, maybe this is going to shock everybody. And then nothing's happened. So,
yeah, it's wild, because like you pointed out, we had that big week of news, probably the biggest week of news in our lives, definitely in my career in media. And then everything else that would be a shocker that would make everybody go, oh, it has to be so much bigger. Like, even the second attempt on Trump, everybody was like, holy cow.
You can't be freaking kidding me.
They tried
the second one.
But it didn't last the way the first one did.
I tell you what, that actually worries me. That's one that sticks in the back of my brain, because there are credible reports, and some of these I think came from the FBI, that Iranian, you know, backed militia members were actively in the United States trying to figure out a way to kill President Trump.
Yeah.
Now, that's not rumor. That actually happened. But nothing's happened. So that's good. But you're like, look, we're still 4 days away. I mean, we're still months away from a possible inauguration.
Well, yeah,
if
whoever
that
wins, they won't be inaugurated until January.
Right. So that stuff, you know, it's the kind of stuff that if you mention it now, people go, ah, that's, you know, that's really far off. But after two assassination attempts and credible reports from our own law enforcement agencies, which are notoriously criticized for not being very pro-Trump, not local law enforcement, but DOJ. I mean, these are high-level people saying these things. Man, it's not a story until it is.
Right.
And it's just something that you mentioned, because hopefully they're considering it with everything they do. Not that we should be thinking about it every day, but it is the kind of thing that you hear and it just kind of floats away and you forget about it until, oh man, there was now this time there's somebody hiding in the bushes outside of this rally, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes you concerned. Just a couple minutes here before we get to the top of the hour. And like I said, we're going to talk about this Tucker Carlson thing that I think you're going to find very, very interesting. I found it last night in a weird place from people who would normally be very critical of Tucker. And with this, they weren't. And it just shocked me, because we're talking about really supernatural stuff and he's willing to talk about it. But yesterday, I started this by saying, hey, it's not October anymore. Yesterday was Halloween. Did you guys do anything interesting, or did you guys hand out candy, or what's the tradition?
We, at my house, well, we were going to go over to a friend's house, and unfortunately, I wasn't feeling well last night, so I had to cancel on them, and I feel really bad about that, because I was really looking forward to going over there. Got home, and so I was just kind of like vegging out on the couch. My wife ordered a pizza, and she went to pick it up and stayed out there and stayed out there and stayed out there because they were swamped and they didn't have enough employees.
Oh, I was going to say, so don't get a pizza on Halloween.
I spent my evening mainly answering the door when kids would ring and looking at all the costumes and handing out candy. My favorite costume was a little kid dressed like Michael Jackson. And I asked this kid, I was like, hey, can you do the moonwalk? And he did the moonwalk across my porch.
How old was he?
I don't know, 3 and a half, maybe 4.
Wow.
And then
that's
I was like,
cool.
Well, so what's your favorite Michael Jackson song? Biddy Dean? I'm like, Billie Jean. Holy cow. I mean, like, they had the sequin glove, and when he did the moonwalk, he put his head down and his hand over his on his hat and did the like nailed it. And I'm like, this kid is going places.
If you saw any great costumes, if you stay at home or really wherever you go, if you took any great costume pictures, I'd love to see them in the chat. If you want to get on the YouTube live chat and let us know there, I'd love to see those for the 2 o'clock hour. But I don't know that I saw any that really made a mark on me. The one thing that happened this year that I think I remember from last year, but now it was multiple houses doing this. No idea, and I'm glad I get the radio to ask this question, because I have no idea whether this was just a my neighborhood thing or this is a thing somewhere else and we're co-opting it. But at two or three different houses, my kids walk up the driveway and they'd say, candy or potato? and my kids remembered this, and so they'd go, every time they go, potato. Because apparently nobody takes potatoes and they're just trying to be funny and different. And so they take the potatoes, like just russet potatoes, and then we're going to go home and have a potato bar tonight because we got so many of them.
Candy or potato? They're like, potato?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and they would always be like, oh, okay, because most kids choose candy.
Oh, crap, now I got to give them potatoes.
But yeah, I didn't know that this was a thing, like just, you know, random people in our neighborhood are just being funny and they know each other. Or if this is some wider thing, I'd love to hear that too. Even if you're like, what the heck? Like, please let me know in the chat whether you've ever heard of candy or potato. And hey, if it's a growing trend, I'm all for it because I like potatoes. And my kids get enough candy, but we need potatoes. Like, I just hadn't bought any for a while. So it was a great convenience for me.
I guess the real question is how do you feel about venison jerky?
No, it's really not. It's almost 2 o'clock. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.